Arise, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
On this Monday, March 18th, let's begin in prayer, praying the words of Psalm 79, which we'll hear at Mass today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins. Remember not against us the iniquities of the past. May your compassion quickly come to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God, our Savior, because of the glory of your name. Deliver us and pardon our sins for your name's sake. Let the prisoner sighing come before you. With your great power, free those doomed to death. Then we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. Through all generations, we will declare your praise. Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It is a better way to start a Monday morning, the Sunrise Morning Show on Sacred Heart Catholic Radio's network of stations, brought to you locally through an 18 affiliate, one of the many 350 affiliates around the country. Thank you for being with us and starting the week, starting the morning. We got a show for you to catch you up. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell's got news. Paul Lockerman's at the controls. We'll be joined by Kevin Schmiesing for a look at This Week in Catholic History. We're going to look, among other things, at the poet Phyllis McGinley and she's known for a few interesting things, and Kevin will share some of those. Danielle Bean will look at Proverbs 31 and the virtuous Catholic woman. As I told you, that why would they join the Catholic Church? It's full of empty, dead, boring ritual. Well, Carl Bernard from Catholic Answers will be on later this hour. He's going to answer that objection. That's also Bear Wozniak along as we take a look more at the life and ministry of St. Paul appearing before a court in Rome. So, hope you can stay with us. It's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. The accused gunman behind the terrorist attacks at two New Zealand mosques reportedly plans to represent himself in court. New Zealand Herald reports that the lawyer who represented Brenton Tarrant in court on Saturday said he's no longer representing the 28-year-old because Tarrant said he wanted to represent himself. The idea of Tarrant representing himself raises concerns that he may use the high-profile case to promote the white supremacist beliefs that he outlined in a manifesto ahead of the attack. During his Angelus address yesterday, Pope Francis prayed for the victims of the mosque attacks in New Zealand. From Vatican Radio, Lydia King reports.
Pope Francis said, in these days, in addition to the pain of wars and conflicts that do not cease to afflict humanity, there have been the victims of the horrible attack against two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Si è aggiunto quello per le vittime dell'orribile attentato contro due moschee a Christchurch in Nuova Zelanda.
He went on to say, I pray for the dead and injured and their families. I am close to our Muslim brothers and all that community. And I renew my invitation for prayer and gestures of peace to combat hatred and violence. Following Pope Francis' words, both he and everyone in the square observed a moment of silence for the victims. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Meanwhile, Facebook says it's trying to control the spread of videos of a deadly attack in New Zealand. The gunman live-streamed the massacre Friday on Facebook for 17 minutes. Copies of the video soon began to spread, and Facebook struggled to take them down as soon as they were found. Facebook says it's also removing edited versions of the video that don't show graphic content out of respect for the people affected. At least 50 people were killed in the shooting and more than 50 injured. Boeing is putting the final touches on a software upgrade and revision of pilot training for the 737 MAX. The upgrade is meant to target the aircraft's flight control system. News of the upgrade comes after it was determined that a deadly crash involving a 737 MAX 8 in Ethiopia had, quote, clear similarities to another deadly crash involving the same type of plane in Indonesia last October. Sources say the upgraded software for the 737 MAX is expected to be released in a week to 10 days, after which new pilot training will be rolled out. Airlines around the world have grounded the 737 MAX as a precaution. The president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference is recovering after suffering a mild stroke on Friday. The Archdiocese of Houston reports Cardinal Daniel DiNardo is resting comfortably and will remain in the hospital temporarily for more testing and observation, and then he will be transferred to another facility for rehabilitation. Cardinal DiNardo expressed gratitude for prayers and said, quote, "With so much to do, I am looking forward to getting back to work as soon as possible," end quote. And Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and Gonzaga are the number one seeds for the NCAA tournament. Mark Mayfield has more.
The Blue Devils were named the top overall seed in the field of 68. The number two seeds went to Michigan, Michigan State, Kentucky, and Tennessee. The Big Ten led the way with a total of eight teams making the field. The ACC and SEC both have seven. Alabama, Indiana, TCU, Texas, and North Carolina State were among the teams that were snubbed. The tournament gets going with the first four on Tuesday and Wednesday in Dayton, Ohio. The final four is April 6th through the 8th in Minneapolis. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Matt, your thoughts?
I have extended thoughts, if you're ready for them here, a little bit after we talk to Kevin Schmeezing.
Oh, yeah, you want to wait a few minutes?
I have only thoughts on the one seeds.
Okay.
As you know, I pick my bracket.
Yeah, and I know that Duke always...
I never root for the devil, Anna Mitchell.
I know. Gonzaga, of course, a Jesuit school.
There's some epic matchups in round one.
Oh, but I can't wait to find out.
At least there are epic matchups on Thursday.
This will be good. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
It's gonna be a great tournament.
I think so.
7 minutes past the hour. It's time for a look at this week in Catholic history, and every week we're joined by Kevin Schmeezing of the Acton Institute in the Athenaeum of Ohio to do so. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Matt.
It's always a great segment when we get to talk about Phyllis McGinley.
Phyllis McGinley was a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and a devout Catholic, and her birthday is this week, March 21st, 1905. She was born in eastern Oregon. Her family moved to Colorado and then Utah. She graduated from the University of Utah in 1927 and then moved to New York City. She got married there. She and her husband would have two daughters together. She was already a published poet by the time she was married, but continued to write and to publish during the time that she stayed at home raising her family. She won a Pulitzer Prize for a collection of poetry in 1961. In 1964, she was awarded the Latare Medal from the University of Notre Dame. And in 1965, she appeared on the cover of Time magazine, so a well-known figure in her day. Her genres primarily were children's books and light verse. Poetry is hard to come by on the Internet. I assume that's because most of it or all of it is still under copyright. There is a delightful poem about St. Jerome that you can find pretty easily, but I'm going to read a different piece that I came across. I think it gives us a nice sense of the spirit of her light verse, and it's also appropriate while we're here in the midst of tax season. She wrote, "I'm a middle bracket person with a middle bracket spouse, and we live together daily in a middle bracket house. We've a fair to middle family. We take the middle view, so we're manna sent from heaven to internal revenue." Phyllis McGinley died in 1978. She had been born this week in 1905.
I had not heard that one. That's great. I love Phyllis McGinley. Well, let's move on to discuss from a laywoman in the United States to a Cardinal Catholic Church.
Cardinal Clemens August von Galen, his date of death was this week, March 22nd, 1946. He was known as the Lion of Münster for his opposition to the Nazi regime in the 1930s and 40s. Von Galen was born into an aristocratic family in northwestern Germany in 1878. He was the 11th of 13 children. He was trained by Jesuits at a school in Austria, and on one occasion they wrote back to his family and complained about the fact that he seemed to have a stubborn streak. When he thought he was right about something, he insisted on it, even against his elders and teachers. Well, that stubborn streak would serve him well later on when he was voicing opposition to the Nazis. He went to the University of Freiburg and then to seminary, was ordained for the Diocese of Münster in 1904. He spent a long time as a parish priest in Berlin, returned to Münster in 1929, and was made bishop of that diocese in 1933. 1933 was also the year that Adolf Hitler rose to power to become dictator in Germany. Later in that same year, the Catholic Church concluded an agreement, a concordat, with Nazi Germany. It's controversial, it's open to criticism, but Bishop von Galen was one of those who used the concordat to good effect to protect as much as possible the freedom of the Church in his diocese, and in particular, the freedom of Catholic schools, at least for a time. He soon became known as one of the most outspoken critics of the Nazi regime. He contributed to the writing of Pope Pius XI's encyclical, Mit Brennender Sorge, which was distributed throughout Germany. We've talked about that episode before. In 1941, von Galen began a series of sermons which he not only delivered but also published, and they were distributed widely throughout Germany. He expressed strong opposition to many Nazi policies on euthanasia, forcible sterilization, concentration camps, the confiscation of church property, and so on. It's clear from documents unearthed later that Hitler and some of his top advisors wanted von Galen done away with. Other advisors prevailed, however. They said you can't get rid of him as long as the war effort is going on, because it will destroy Catholic support for the German war effort, which is vital. So he survived through the war, essentially under house arrest in his residence in Münster. After the war, he was made a cardinal by Pope Pius XII, the former nuncio to Germany. He died March 22, 1946. He was beatified by his fellow German, Pope Benedict XVI, in 2005. So blessed Clemens August von Galen went to his reward this week in 1946.
Fascinating figure that I had not heard about before. Thanks always to Kevin Schmiesing for bringing such tidbits to light, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, it is time to check on weather for the nation. A weak disturbance moving through the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast could deliver a mix of rain and snow or a few rain showers to the Mid-Atlantic, with light snow covering the interior Northeast. Accumulations, if any, will be quite light. A stubborn cold front remaining across Florida will be the trigger for a few showers today. The heaviest rain will be in the southern half of the state. Other than scattered rain and snow showers dotting the Rockies, the rest of the country will continue to be under the influence of high pressure with plenty of sunshine. We got headlines with Anna Mitchell next, plus some early thoughts on your bract from a very high theological perspective. It's 13 minutes past the hour.
Catholic Singles is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. Catholic Singles has been serving single Catholics since 1997. Every month, thousands of new members to Catholic Singles to other faithful Catholics. And while most are there for online Catholic dating, others join for fellowship and community. For dating, friendship, or just a fun group of people who share the faith, Catholic Singles can help find the perfect match. Catholic Singles, online at sunrisemorningshow.com, and click Catholic Singles.
I'm Matt Swain, grateful the Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment. Comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Send your Holy Spirit to the Muslim.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theater Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at breakthroughmovie.com.
You listen to the Sunrise Morning Show? Well, imagine promoting your business right here to other listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show. You'll reach like-minded folk across the nation on over 300 radio stations, each of those stations with thousands and thousands of listeners. Not to mention all the people who listen on Sirius Satellite and our online app. Find out more about national underwriting of the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. L-E-A-H at sacredheartradio.com.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Francis offers prayers for victims of the California wildfire.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
A quarter past the hour. Let's get a check on headlines with Anna Mitchell.
New Zealand's prime minister says gun laws in the country will change following last week's attacks on mosques that left at least 50 people dead. During his Angelus address yesterday, Pope Francis prayed for the victims of the mosque attacks in New Zealand, and the president of the U.S. Bishops Conference is recovering after suffering a mild stroke on Friday.
And be sure of our prayers, Cardinal DiNardo.
Yes.
St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Of course. My husband's in an Irish band, Matt.
This is why I asked.
So
at least two gigs.
Yeah, they had two gigs this weekend as a band, and I went to the one on Saturday night, but they had one yesterday, which apparently went really well as well. But I really enjoyed Saturday night. It was nice to be there, and because I don't get to go to these shows as often anymore with two little kids. I can't often take them to bars, but this happened to be a place where they allowed kids. So Roma and Tommy got to enjoy their first St. Patrick's Day concert.
Pretty
this
cool.
Weekend.
Pretty
it was
cool.
Awesome.
So,
it was awesome.
Go to EasterRisingBand.com if you want to find out.
They always end their shows.
Will and the crew.
They always end their shows singing the Immaculate Mary.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Like, it usually Saint follows Patrick's like Day. The Irish Rover.
Yes. Yes, it does. It's a good you know, juxtaposition. Did you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. I'm in Columbus today to take a couple more episodes of The Journey Home. So,
cool.
It's exciting. I don't do St. Patrick's Day that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Mostly because none of the people who I know who are actually Irish Catholics do much with it. It's all the middle-aged women at the crazy bar across the street from my place that really get into St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, there are those.
But St. Patrick's Day, there were a lot of things going on in basketball. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take a quick look, and if I might, at the brackets. So lots of Catholic schools represented this year.
Well, yeah.
Could have been
the
more.
The Big East was a very good conference this year.
It was a very good conference this year. But it was a good year for the Baptists. A lot of Baptist schools made it into the tournament.
Oh, interesting.
Baylor made it in. Colgate made it in. You mentioned that they were going to. Also, Belmont, Liberty, and Temple, all Baptist schools. So there's five Baptist schools.
Wow.
That I, by my count, that have made it in. Not to mention that Abilene Christian, Church of Christ, and Yale, which was founded by the Congregationalists, mm-hmm. are all in. Mm-hmm. And then you got Syracuse, the Methodist school.
Right.
I bring up Syracuse because...
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the one, because I know that Syracuse is very important to your in-laws.
Right, yeah, that's where
so
they went.
And so you run into
I root
into
for a different orange, Anna Mitchell. My Tennessee Volunteers are going to run the table.
Well,
I root for a different orange.
Yeah.
The
I mean, they
orange.
Could. They could this year. They're pretty this good year. This year.
But Syracuse being a Methodist school, and the Syracuse Orange originally were the Syracuse Orange Men, which mm-hmm. is...
They're going against Baylor.
They're going against
round.
Baylor in the first round. This is an epic Methodist versus Baptist matchup.
Yeah,
in round
with,
one,
with the rights to potentially go on to play the Jesuit powerhouse Gonzaga in the
this
second.
This is John
round.
Wesley versus John Calvin on the basketball court.
Then to go up against St. Ignatius.
Free will versus predestination on the basketball court. This is having your heart strangely warmed versus divine election. This is huge.
This is huge.
Syracuse and Baylor is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Well, then so, and then the winner goes on to. Most likely play St. Aloysius Gonzaga and St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Yeah, you got that going on. Now, there are several...
You don't even care about that. You're more interested
no,
in the Protestant matchup.
I'm interested in this particular Protestant matchup. But on the Catholic side, there's actually a really tough
matchup.
Hey,
you didn't give me a pick there.
I'm going to go Syracuse.
Okay.
I never vote Calvinist unless I absolutely have to. But in the first round, you also have Villanova facing off against St. Mary's, Villanova mm-hmm. being an Augustinian school.
Yes.
And just in heaven, who do you think, if Our Lady and St. Augustine are in line for the breakfast buffet, do you think St. Augustine would say, Our Lady go first?
Yeah, but do you think that Villanova is going to be listening to that reasoning?
I think that the defending champions are going to defer.
Interesting.
Go down round one.
Wow.
I got St. Mary's winning it all,
11-6
I got St. Mary's winning it all for two reasons. One, because Our Lady is the queen of all saints.
I like it.
She trumps all the other saints that all the schools named after. Plus, the mascot of St. Mary's is... Do you know?
No.
The Gaels.
Really?
Here we are.
Wow.
Just off of St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
I got St. Mary's winning it all. 16 seed going all the way. It's 21 pounds. If you're in the market for books or other resources for Lent and heading to Amazon to buy them, remember to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so, you're indirectly giving alms without spending an extra penny, because when you go to Amazon through our link, we get a commission for the purchase.
So enhance your Lenten spiritual life and support the Sunrise Morning Show at the same time by clicking the Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click on Amazon.
I'm Father Timothy Shearer. These are biblical impressions. Ahikar is a name not familiar to us, but he was a nephew of Tobit. Ahikar's biography was famous in Assyrian literature long before the Book of Tobit was written. The title of this famous biography was The Story and the Wisdom of Ahikar. Because he had no children, Ahikar adopted his son Nadin and groomed him to serve in the royal court. But Nadin was not a gracious man. He later schemed to ruin his uncle. Ahikar was arrested and condemned to die. But the officer in charge spares his life because Ahikar once saved his life. The king later restores Ahikar to his post, and Nadin, the wicked nephew, is put into prison. Ahikar means my brother is honorable. The name is a good fit for this character. Even though we may not share the name, we can certainly share his character. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Danielle Angeline at CatholicMom.com. You can check out her girlfriend's podcast through Ascension Press. And you can invite her to speak through at DanielleBean.com. We've been talking about her book, You Are Enough, What Women of the Bible Teach You About Your Mission and Worth. Danielle, welcome back.
Good morning. How are you, Anna?
I am doing just fine, thank you. And we're going to be continuing our discussions on the woman in Proverbs 31, a woman who exemplifies all kinds of gifts that all women can possess, because she's not just some perfect woman that we all just love to hate,
right? Right. So we talked about this last week, where she is actually not a real woman, not a real person being described. She's an ideal being described, but an ideal that highlights and praises the ideal that's in every one of us, the potential that's in every woman, the unique feminine strengths that God gives us. It's a poem of praise for feminine strength.
Yes, and strength being a key word for our conversation today. Proverbs 31:17 says, "She clothes herself with strength and makes her arms strong." So does that mean all women are meant to be buff, or is this alluding to some kind of different kind of strength?
Now, it's cool if you're buff, but no, that's actually not the kind of strength it's talking about here. So this is really a recognition of a uniquely womanly strength, right? Because we're talking about this woman as an ideal. We're praising her feminine gifts as an ideal. And this is uniquely talking about her feminine strength. So in what ways are women strong? You know, sometimes I think womanly strength kind of gets a bad rap because our culture doesn't recognize it for what it is. You know, I'm always telling people that, ironically, our culture, in the name of liberating women, has adopted a male version of what strength is, a male version of what success is, to the detriment and at the cost of real feminine strength. So some of the things that make us strong, the ways in which we show compassion and caring for others, the ways that we notice the needs of others and give of ourselves generously for their sake, those are seen as a weakness. Right? To be a caregiver, to serve as a role of a caregiver, whether it's being a stay-at-home mom or staying home to care for an aging parent, these aren't the things that our culture celebrates as a success in a worldly sense. And yet we women know that this is the most valuable work we can do. We also know we're uniquely equipped to do it and that we're strong in that way.
Yeah, and you, let's just take a look back for a moment here. I mean, you've given us plenty of examples whom we've already discussed in your book in previous weeks who exemplify this kind of strength.
Absolutely. So, of course, you know, when we talk about strength, of course, we talk about Judith, and that's who I talked about in that chapter in my book, You Are Enough, is Judith, the woman who had the courage to kill an enemy army general, right, cut off his head with a sword. Mm-hmm. So that's not usually the kind of feminine strength that we exhibit in this world. And that, no, I mean, it's cool. It's a great story. So definitely go and read that book if you have not familiarized yourself with it. But that's a great example of the fact that in the scriptures, women are celebrated as strong. So physically, we're not usually as physically strong as our male counterparts, but we do have this strength. And I love that Judith is this physical story of this, you know, kind of physical thing that she did that's amazing strength, but really at the heart of it is her obedience and her loyalty to God, her faithfulness in carrying out her mission. The fact that she found herself with the opportunity to slay this army general, she took a moment, she paused, and she prayed, and she put herself in God's presence and asked God to give her the courage and strength for what she had to do. And so many of us need that reminder as women that need to turn in prayer to God before we're called to these great things. And maybe the great thing that you're called to is getting out of bed in the morning and facing your daily duties, whether it's caring for small children at home, going to a workplace, you know, whatever it is that you are dealing with in your day, ask for that courage, that strength that you need to uniquely love the people that he's placed in your life.
Someone else that we can ask for help, I think. I mean, we talk about the perfect woman. How about looking to our Blessed Mother to help us grow in feminine strength?
Absolutely. You know, we just had International Women's Day, and I loved that among the Catholic people I follow on social media, there were so many memes that were talking about this amazing woman, this amazing strength that we have in Mary. Just this beautiful example of defeating the devil with her simple yes. And what a beautifully authentic feminine example that is. She was receptive to the will of God in a uniquely feminine way when she said yes to God's plan for her to carry the Savior, to bring the Savior into the world. Her fiat slayed the devil.
Her fiat slayed the devil, and I still marvel at the strength that he had at the foot of the cross.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's many ways, and I talk about this inside of the book, that women uniquely suffer through their vocation to motherhood, what it means, you know, actually having children or adopting children or caring for God places in your life. There's a beautiful example of that outpouring of love, that gave her whole self to Jesus, whom she loved, and then suffering as a result of that suffering, as a result of having poured herself into that relationship. Then when she, you know, suffered through watching him suffer and cruelly die on the cross, that is a beautiful example of the ways in which we can be faithful inside of the suffering that motherhood costs us.
Yes, Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. But let's move on to, because in Proverbs 31:20 we read, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Now, what does this teach us about women, Danielle?
Yeah, and I think that we all know this because we feel it in our hearts as women. We know this in our hearts, that we have a unique capacity for human relationship, for seeing the other, for seeing those small needs of other people. And we're not always the ones who are in a position to meet those needs. Just seeing and recognizing the needs of others and then perhaps pointing them out, being a voice for the voiceless in the great pro-life work that so many women do, or being a voice for the poor or the marginalized in our society. Women see other people in their needs, and they have a unique capacity for either meeting those needs or speaking the truth about those needs and finding the help of the people who can meet those needs for them. So I love that St. John Paul II describes mothers as, a mother is one who understands everything and embraces each of us with her heart.
How generous women are. And Danielle, before we let you go, I mean, how do you see Lent as an opportunity to grow in feminine generosity?
I think that, you know, almsgiving is one of those three tenets of the Lenten season. Well, I think it's a good exercise for every woman to take some time to think about what her uniquely feminine gifts are, ways in which God uniquely made her strong and generous, which needs she sees in those people around us. It might be someone standing right in your living room, but it might be somebody inside of your community that you're being called to reach out to, a need that you are noticing. So every woman will benefit from spending some time in prayer, considering what her unique feminine gifts are and the ways in which God might like for her to be practicing this Lent.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Danielle Bean. You can find her at daniellebean.com, which is linked in the show notes for today at sonrisemorningshow.com. Coming up on 31 minutes past the hour now, it's time for news. Police in New Zealand say they're positive there was only one gunman behind last week's deadly mosque attacks. Police Commissioner Mike Bush says the fact they believe only one person carried out the attacks does not mean that there weren't others who supported him. A 28-year-old from Australia was arrested and charged for the attacks on two mosques in Christchurch on Friday. At least 50 people were killed in the shootings and dozens more hurt. Bush said the investigation into the shootings is the largest ever undertaken by authorities in the country. Meanwhile, Pope Francis has condemned the shootings in New Zealand. During his Angelus address in St. Peter's Square yesterday, the Pope called the mass shooting in Christchurch a horrible attack. He urged people around the world to fight against anti-immigrant and white supremacist extremism expressed by the suspected shooter. The Pope said he renews a, quote, invitation to join in prayers and gestures of peace to combat hate and violence, end quote. Also during his Angelus address yesterday, the Holy Father reflected on the Transfiguration. Vatican Radio, Leo Kane reports.
The Transfiguration, explained to the Pope, takes place at a very precise moment of Christ's mission. That is, after he confided to his disciples that he must suffer much, be killed, and rise again on the third day. He went on to say that the Transfiguration of Christ shows us the Christian perspective of suffering. It is a necessary but transitory passage. The point of arrival to which we are called is as luminous as the face of the transfigured Christ.
Dunque, la trasfigurazione di Cristo ci mostra la prospettiva cristiana della sofferenza.
By showing his glory, noted the Pope, Jesus assures us that the cross, the trials, the difficulties with which we are struggling will be overcome and resolved with Easter. Therefore, this Lent, he continued, let us also climb the mountain of Jesus. In what way? With prayer, he said. Let us remain for a few moments in recollection, fix our inner gaze on his face, and let his light pervade us and radiate into our lives. The Pope also pointed out that the evangelist Luke insists that Jesus transfigured himself while he was praying. He had immersed himself in an intimate conversation with the Father, said Pope Francis, and while he was adhering with all of himself to the Father's salvation, including the cross, the glory of God invaded him, shone forth also from that side. The Pope concluded by saying that prayer in Christ and in the Holy Spirit transforms the person from within and can enlighten others and the surrounding world. I'm Leo Kane.
The president of the U.S. Bishops' Conference is recovering after a mild stroke on Friday. The Archdiocese of Houston reports Cardinal Daniel DiNardo is resting comfortably and will remain in the hospital temporarily for more testing and observation, and then will be transferred to another facility for rehabilitation. There are apparently clear similarities between this month's Ethiopian Airlines crash and one last October in Indonesia involving the same type of plane. Ethiopia's transportation minister did not expand on what those similarities were, but said the determination was made from preliminary information from the black boxes of the Ethiopian Airlines Boeing 737 MAX. The aftermath of this week's bomb cyclone is causing major flooding to a number of Midwestern states. Here's NBC's Jay Gray.
Water pushing into places it's never been before. Communities cut off from major roads and, in many cases, the mainland. Newly formed islands with families stranded unless they have access to a chopper or small plane.
At least three people have died, and a number of states have declared emergencies to deal with the flooding. The Missouri River is not expected to crest in some places until Tuesday. That's news. It's 35 past the hour. The Sunrise.
Are you giving up coffee or caffeine for Lent? Better stock up on tea or decaf, and the Mystic Monks of Wyoming have a number of different flavors that you can choose from.
They also have flavors like Pascha Java that you can get now for your Easter baskets, and you support the Sunrise Morning Show with your purchase when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
While you're there, why not pick up a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug for $10 in our online store.
Get the mugs and link to Mystic Monk coffee or tea at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
What does the church say about contraceptives? The Catholic Church is very specific and unwavering in her teachings that the use of contraceptives to prevent pregnancy is, in every case, immoral and intrinsically evil, a serious moral wrong. People sometimes ask why the church is so adamant when they feel this should be a couple's decision. The fact is that the procreation of children is one of the inherent purposes of marriage, and as such cannot in any way be interfered with by any means, mechanical or chemical. The marriage sexual act is God's way of continuing the human race. To accept God's wonderful gift of sexual relations without also being open to the possibility of conception is to void God's plan. To employ any means of preventing conception as a result of sexual relations can never be justified, even if a couple is married. For more information, contact your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 2362 through 2366. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
Back with us on the Sunrise Morning Show is Carlo Broussard. We've been going through his book, Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo, welcome back.
Hey, Anna. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you. And today we're not actually going to be tackling some, you know, high-minded philosophical objection to the church, but simply the objection, well, I just think church is boring, so I'm not going to go. And Carlo, I have to admit, my reaction to that statement is, well, church was not created for your personal entertainment, but can you give us a more diplomatic way of saying that to start off a conversation with a person like this?
Yeah, so I lay out a few strategies in the book, Anna. First of all, I think it's important that we should explain why we shouldn't use our emotions as a guide for choosing, you know, which church we should belong to. I mean, and fundamentally, frankly, the bottom line is our emotions change. I mean, we've all experienced, you know, for example, concrete example, we watched a movie that we really liked many years ago, and then watch it again. We're like, how in the world did I like that? That's a very cheesy show, right?
No.
That happens all the time, right? We watch something in our minds, you know, we watch something, we were like 10 or 11, we thought it was so great, you know, and then we watch it again, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know?
I think as a former tween girl, I can vibe with that quite a bit.
Amen. So our emotions are inconstant. They come and they go. So right off the bat, we should have a red flag here and think, well, our emotions aren't the best guide for determining which church we should belong to, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Anna, you hit the nail on the head in having the insight that this sort of comment misses the point about what it means to worship. You know, worship isn't primarily about how it makes me feel. Worship is primarily about giving the honor that is due to God as the sovereign Lord, all right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the primary meaning of worship. Now, does that mean there will never be an emotional experience that results from proper worship of God? Of course not. God will bless us with emotional experiences of peace because we're made to worship Him. It's ingrained within us to worship the Sovereign Lord, to be grateful and to show that gratitude for Him sustaining us and being. And so there will be emotional experiences that flow from it when we worship God, but primarily it's not about how it makes me feel. It's about giving Him the worship that is due. This leads us to the question, well, is there a particular form of worship, right? Mm-hmm. One form of worship that God wills for us to worship Him with? And of course, the Catholic Church says yes. It's the offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But and when we participate in that unique form of worship that Christ wills for us, but then, of course, there will be at times emotional experiences of peace that, once again, because we're fulfilling our nature as human beings to give Him the proper worship. And, God will do it from the outside as well in giving us some temporal blessings.
Yeah, certainly. Now, beyond that, how can this boredom that somebody might experience actually be the result of a lack of knowledge of what's actually happening during ritual, during Mass?
Yes, and we've all experienced this as well. So, for example, many years ago, my father used to watch golf on TV all the time. In fact, he still does. But in those early years of my life, I thought it was extremely boring, right? I didn't take much interest in it because I didn't know much about it until I went out on the golf course and tried to hit that little darn white ball into that hole and realized how hard it is, right?
Yeah.
And then I came to appreciate the game. And so I was able to enjoy watching golf with my father and even watching him play, you know? So my boredom with that particular game was conditioned by a lack of understanding of the complexity of the game. And this can apply to almost anything in life. And I think this is the case with Mass. Many times people experience boredom because of a lack of understanding of what's going on in the Mass, the meaning of all of the signs and the gestures and words and the incense, etc., and the postures. What does all this mean? So if one were really interested and trying to get rid of the boredom and say, hey, well, what's to all this Mass stuff, right? And as you grow in knowledge, boredom subsides. Now, I think there's something more going on here, Anna, than just a lack of understanding of the rituals. Many mm-hmm. times for people, they just don't appreciate or fail to be aware or appreciate the magnitude, the glorious magnitude of the metaphysical realities that the Catholic rituals celebrate.
Oh, absolutely. I can speak to that from personal experience of finally understanding what was happening and just being like, oh my gosh.
That's right. And so, and once again, that comes from understanding, right? So as we grow in that knowledge, that more penetrating knowledge gives rise to the opportunity for faith and for an increase in faith. Once we come to knowledge of the realities that the Mass and the rituals within the Mass are celebrating, well, then that can inspire affection and love and get rid of, exclude the boredom, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important, you know, to pursue knowledge of what's going on at the Mass.
And finally, how can we really explain the intrinsic value in general of ritual in our lives?
Yeah, this is something that corresponds to our human nature. There are no non-ritual cultures. Every culture has ritual in some form or manner. I mean, even here in 21st century America, where we seem to like smack tradition and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that smacks of tradition, we're repulsed by it. It's like, for example, we have rituals at graduation ceremonies, right? Mm-hmm. We have rituals at military procedures. We have rituals at weddings. Even if you go to Las Vegas and have the Elvis impersonator, there's still some form of ritual, right?
Sure.
We don't think we should just get rid of graduation ceremonies, right? So there's something ingrained within us, and this flows from us being a body-soul unity, Anna. We have bodies, so we need to do things with our bodies in ways that express the extraordinary nature of the things we're celebrating.
Yep. I agree. So all of you who have teenagers that say, Mom, I'm not going to go to Mass, it's boring. Just hand them this book by Carlo Broussard, this chapter.
Like, Mom, why'd you hand me a book?
Okay, you know what? Maybe we should put this interview up on SoundCloud, Paul Lockman. I know you're listening right now because you have to.
Because he's
working.
He's the one who's
controlling our microphones. Maybe we should put this one up on SoundCloud so that they can then just send it via Facebook to their teenager who says, Mom, I don't want to go to Mass.
Actually, you know what? If you're a teenager and you think it's boring, just call me directly. I'm serious. I'll, trust me.
Get your cell phone number out.
I'm not getting my cell phone. Just email me.
Email him.
You can find that on sunrisemorningshow.com. I know Paul Lockman is listening because as soon as we ended our conversation about basketball, he informed me that I was incorrect, that St. Mary's was not a 16 seed. It was an 11 seed.
Yeah, Villanova is a 6 seed this year. The defending champions are a 6 seed.
So that's...
You're going to have to put up your... You're going to have to go through a whole bracket and maybe put it up on our blog.
In previous years, I've done like a whole big blog post about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've got time this week because I've got a bunch of... I'm in Columbus taping like 2 full days of Journey Home. I'm taping a month's worth of Journey Home episodes literally in like 48 hours.
Well, pretend like you're working, but really do like everybody else does in the office. You know, you pretend like you're working and then you have like the boss button on your commercial where they're talking about the boss button on the keyboard.
Oh, no.
Could you do that with Marcus Grody? I mean, he's like in the studio. Where are you? I mean, come on.
I'm like through the glass looking at him.
I bet you could just have your bracket on like a clipboard or something. You like how I'm encouraging you?
No.
I'm no, like see, the little temptress on your shoulder.
You know this. There's only three people like who work like directly hands-on on the Sunrise Morning Show. I mean, of course, Michael Birchfield down at EWTN. I don't want to forget him. But if one of those people is not paying attention or is not plugged in, it's all over.
It's all over.
You can't just like be like, well, today I'm not working.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. That is the truth.
No, everything falls through if that happens. Mm. What happens if Paul Lockman forgets to call Bear Wozniak here in like 30 seconds?
Oh boy.
Because he's busy filling out his bracket. What happens
Paul
if Bear Wozniak comes on?
Paul Lockman better not be filling out his bracket right now.
What happens if he doesn't come on to his like famous surfer bumper music?
Oh, man.
Because Paul Lockman was filling out his bracket. Yeah, we can't have that
Paul
happen.
Lockman, I'm sure, already filled out his bracket. That's probably the first thing he did.
Over the weekend. Yes. Hmm. Rest in peace. It's 13 till.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org, solidarityhealthshare.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White Incorporated has been constructing with knowledge and providing service with integrity and safety. From heavy industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, South End, Whiting, Newcastle, and Boston, you can count on excellent construction service and quality. J.J. White Incorporated, 215-722-1000, and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Have you heard about Lord Teach Me to Pray? Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Training retreats will be held this summer and fall in various parts of the country. Go to lordteachmetopray.com to find a training retreat near you. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative.
Go to lordteachmetopray.com and click on Facilitator Training Retreats.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
Are we the youngest in Planned Parenthood history?
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself. I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R. EWTN, communicating the faith.
I feel that God has been really doing a work in me in the last 5-10 years. I'm a convert to Catholicism, and I started to just feel a passion to know more about the Catholic faith, and I started listening to Catholic radio all day. I'm not doing great things. I'm doing small things with great love.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
There's the music. Paul Lockman is with us. Just make sure. Bear Wozniak is joining us. You can find him at deepadventure.com. You can find all sorts of things related to his ministry, especially to Catholic men, related there. Good morning, Bear.
Hey, aloha, Matt. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. And we've been talking a lot about St. Paul and his travels and travails, as it were. And today we're talking about him going for Felix. It's no small thing.
Yeah, it's actually, he's being judged, but it's not just in a courtroom. It's in a royal... You know, it's in a throne room with Felix, the governor, and also Herod was invited in to come in, and he stood there to be judged. And it struck me yesterday, something unusual happened to me yesterday, and it just really seemed to bring this to light. As I was paddling out surfing yesterday, I paddled past the spot in front of my house called Queen's Beach Break. It used to be surfed by Queen Lili Okolani. And I saw this man out there who's just a known bully. He's been bullying people for 20 years. He bullied my son once when he came back from the from war, and he bullies tourists, and he's even tried to bully me. And I decided, you know what, that day, that guy's day has come today. I'm going to go out and surf when I come back if he's there. It's a judgment day for him. It was, you know, a surprise for him. Like judgment day is going to be a surprise for each of us. So I paddled back in. He was still there, and I paddled into the lineup, stand up paddle surfing, and I shouted to everybody. There's a world famous surfer here in the lineup today, everybody. He's famous all over the world. Everywhere I surf, in Australia or Europe or California, wherever I go, people ask me, who is that punk that hassles everybody, that thinks he's so tough? Who is that bully in the water? He's world famous. And he was just in shock because he's taking runs at me on a surfboard, even with my wife on my board when we're tandem surfing. I think he was just shocked because sometimes people mistake patience for weakness. And so I said, and he came back and tried to defend himself, and I said, I don't like to argue. Let's go to the beach and fight. So we paddled in, and I kept goading him to make sure he would paddle. It's like a five-minute paddle to the beach. And when we got to the beach, I had a surprise for him. And it's kind of like, I think, you know, the judgment day. People don't know. There's actually people listening today who will be seeing God face-to-face. That's how serious your ministry is, Matt. And when we got to the beach, as we got in the waist water, too deep for him to fight, I yelled to all of the tourists, over 100 tourists, there is a world-famous surfer here. He's famous around the world for bullying tourists. He bullied my son when he came back from the war. He's made a run at my wife when we're tandem surfing. And it was like his sins were exposed to the light. He had nothing to say. If I say something, he had nothing to say. And eventually we got to the beach, and he does his posture, and I shoved him, and eventually he left. But he left humbled. He left with his sins kind of shouted from the housetop, his sins fully exposed. And it was like right there, like in the light of day, this man was shamed so many people publicly, and now he was shamed publicly. But there will come a time, and it might even be today, when we see God face to face, and all of our sins will be revealed. Are we ready, as Catholics were taught? There's death, judgment, heaven, or hell. And I know there's someone listening right now, that can be that person who was with Jesus on the cross next to him that said, Jesus, bring me this day in paradise. Someone who maybe hasn't been living a good life and thinks that there's no way he can be saved or she can be saved, but you can. But now is the hour of salvation. Now is the day when you need to get humble, go to confession. And in fact, at this very moment, just say, Jesus, forgive me and come into my life and be my Lord and save me. So there's a judgment day coming, and it's going to come. It always comes, as one of the early church fathers said, sooner than you expect. So be prepared. And when you go before the throne of God, go there, you know, with Jesus, having submitted yourself, surrendered yourself, and cooperated with God's grace, so when you go there, you could go confidently and see the Lord.
Yeah, you know, I was on an airplane yesterday. I thought to myself, well, it's been some crazy news headlines. I mean, I pray my rosary that I normally pray on the airplane with a little bit more frequency, but, you know, you can get killed by a lightning bolt walking down the street, man. I mean, I gotta always be ready. I mean, this part of what Lent is about is making sure that we've got our game faces on. At all times. I have a suggestion for you. Next time you see that guy, next time you see him, see if he'll let you buy him a drink, because that would be an extra surprise.
I went to Mass and I pray the rosary during certain parts of the Mass, and we get one prayer. You know, it says the one who most needed thy mercy. Now his name is there among other people when I pray that. So now my job is to pray for him, so that I just didn't shame him, but that somehow the Holy Spirit will transform him.
Yeah, because if you leave it at that, then you've basically just, you know, gotten crossways with somebody. But I bet you if you see him next time and you offer to buy him a drink, he'd be even more shocked than when you called him out.
Well, I will be praying for him. I don't think he's going to get humble that fast. But, when you have a divine encounter like that, it's your job to pray for someone. When someone offends you, it's your job to pray for them. But at some point, he needs to just have an encounter with me. And so, and my job is not to leave it at that, it's to pray for those people in our lives that do kind of get under our skin and ask for God's mercy and hopefully do see them in heaven. But there will be a day when all of us need to stand before the throne of God, and we need to take a look at our own hearts. Are we ready?
Yeah, well, as we've said on this show many times before, especially in the case, it's often come up in conversations about abortion, the goal is not just to end it, the goal is to sit with those former abortions, the wedding feast, and the kingdom of God. So, yeah, pray for your enemies.
Amen.
That's right there. Those are the words of our Lord, man. So, pretty much serious stuff. Bear Wozniak, we've got deepadventure.com linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, that wraps it up for the EWTN portion of the Sunrise Morning Show on a Monday morning. We'll be back again tomorrow. I'm Matt Swaim for Anna Mitchell, Blockman, and all of our guests. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned to KPN Radio all day long. Or if you want to, you can even download the Sunrise Morning Show app at sunrisemorningshow.com. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.